Lucy asked me to do a little history background, and that was quite an order given how long this situation has been going on. And I was trying to, and I realized that many of you have significant background, so I was trying to think of some way to approach this that would be, relevant, but not repeat sort of the basic information that everybody already has. So I thought I would talk about some stages in Palestinian resistance and how these have led up to the boycott, divestment, sanctions movement, and say a little bit about that, and then Dalit will talk in much more detail about BDS and about Hewlett-Packard in particular. So you probably know this, but I think it's worth starting out with the idea that things really began in 1948 with the dispersal of the Palestinian people from, the vast majority of them being dispersed from their their homeland in 1948. And then another important date, I think, is 1967. And I think these two, as a result of the events of these 2 years, we basically have three different Palestinian populations, those living inside Israel proper, those living in the remaining territories of historic Palestine, the West Bank and Gaza, which have been under Israeli occupation since 1967, and then, of course, the people of the diaspora scattered around the Middle East and beyond. And I think all Palestinians at some level dream about returning to their homeland, but they have thought about how to deal with their situation using different political strategies, and some of these depend on the times and also whether they are inside Israel or in the occupied territories or in the diaspora. But I think if we look at the period from the 1950s to the present, there are some patterns in the changes in strategies and who was in leadership among Palestinians who are resisting occupation or dealing with the fact that they had been, made refugees. So in the very first period, there really was no Palestinian resistance. Basically, the Arab states sort of took on the job of leading the demand for Palestinian rights. But in the 1960s, particularly after 1967, the PLO and the different factions of the Palestinian political spectrum led resistance efforts, and I think their efforts were primarily of the military sort, right? This is the age of the fedayi, the resistance fighter, most of them in the diaspora trying to infiltrate either the occupied territories or Israel itself. The PLO became a people inside the West Bank and Gaza in particular, became disenchanted with the PLO by the late 1980s, and that's when you see the Intifada, the first Intifada starting, and as a result of that, the PLO on the outside in that diaspora was very much sort of sidelined. The center of gravity of Palestinian politics became inside the territories. And that really forced the PLO to approach the situation from a much more diplomatic orientation and ultimately to strike a deal with Israel and the U.S. that would allow them to return to the occupied territories in the guise of the Palestinian Authority. And so those diplomatic efforts on the part of the PLO led to ultimately to the Oslo Accords and to the settlement with Israel 1993. And for, you know, that was a period in which a lot of Palestinians thought things were getting better. But by 2000, the PLO and the Palestinian Authority had been discredited. Nothing had happened really on the ground to change the situation. And so you have the outbreak of the second intifada, which, unlike the first intifada, was very much was much more violent. Was Hamas became sort of took on the role of leader of the resistance, and that's where we were by the mid 2000s. And then in 2005, West Bank, Gaza, civil society, folks, organizations, grassroots group organizations took the leadership and started of the sort of the popular movement and started this another stage of nonviolent resistance with the call for boycott, divestment, and sanctions in 2005. Which was meant really to pressure Israel by appealing to popular opinion, particularly in Europe and North America, where Israel, you know, the areas where Israel, that Israel depends on most for its international support. And this phase of nonviolent resistance has really, I think, borne fruit in a way that military resistance and diplomatic efforts on the part of the PLO never really did before, at least in terms of capturing the imagination and the support of people in Europe and North America. So in the last less than 10 years, the boycott, divestment, sanctions movement has made considerable achievements within the U.S. itself. You know, you may be familiar with some of these. In just this year, the Presbyterians voted to divest from three companies, including Hewlett-Packard, HP. Financial institutions like the TIAA CREF, you know, demoted Caterpillar from its social investments. Socially responsible investments. BDS has become a big deal on university campuses. Just the other day, UCLA student body voted to support divestment of the university. So I think this is a very exciting stage in the whole history of Palestinian resistance, and it's one that I think has really caught on, particularly in the United States, in a way that other efforts haven't. So I think it's important to see it in that context of one more strategy by Palestinians to deal with the situation of dispossession and occupation. And in supporting it, I think we are really taking our cue from Palestinians in a way that maybe wasn't the case beforehand.